This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Bismillah, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This is your sister Naima B. Robert here, coming on with a little bit of a rant, a response to a poll that I posted on my channel last week, mashallah, after we had a very, very interesting conversation in our Thursday night live. The issue of polygamy, plural marriage, came up, and there were some interesting opinions flying around, and we decided to put up a poll. I decided to put up a poll on my channel just to see, take the temperature of the sisters, see where their heads were at. And in this video, I would like to share the results with you. And I would also like to respond to some of the comments, inshallah. If you're watching live, please give salam in the comments and tell me where you're watching from. If you're watching on the replay, just put replay gang in the comments. I love to see what you guys are thinking and you know, how you're responding to the content. It's one of the things that makes going live the most fun, mashallah, assalamu alaikum. I love to see it. So anyway, with that being said, hit the like button, guys. Subscribe to the channel. You know you want to. We are on our way to 50,000 subscribers. You guys can get us there. Let me know if my sound is okay, if I'm coming through loud and clear. Let's get into it, inshallah. Let me share this the poll so you guys can see what I'm talking about. Bismillah. Right. So let me get my tab up. So basically, this is the poll. You guys can see it, I hope. This is the poll that I posted, inshallah. And it said, sisters, this is for you to answer honestly. Under what circumstances would you consider a proposal from a brother who has all the qualities you're looking for, but is already married? Okay. So again, sisters, if this is for you to answer honestly, under what circumstances would you consider a proposal from a brother who has all the qualities you're looking for, but is already married? So this is already, we're talking about a high quality brother here. So I didn't even ask about, like, you know, brothers who may have some of what you're looking for, maybe a little bit okay, maybe not. I'm talking about like the quality dude that you're looking for, right? But he's already married. So the four options were, if he can provide for us equally, 40% of you said that you would consider a brother with those qualities if he could provide for you equally. Okay, so the finances are obviously a thing. Then the next option was if his first wife is on board with it, right? And 21% of you said that under that circumstance, you would consider it. The next option was if I don't have to interact with his wife. So like, I don't need to see her. I don't need to know her. I don't have to have anything to do with her or that family. Only 5% of you put this as a condition. Interesting. Then the last option was, if I've run out of options and I'm desperate. And you know, I had to put that one in there because that's real, right? And actually, 34% of you said that that would be the condition under which you would consider polygamy if you felt that you had run out of options and basically this is all you've got to deal with. That is the only thing that would push you to actually consider this option. Okay, so very interesting. 930 votes. Jazakallah khairan, guys. Really, really appreciate you, you know, taking the time to share your opinion with me, mashallah. And I wanted to address some of the comments, inshallah, because I think that they're quite telling. So, of course, there were quite a few of you who noticed that I had not put the option of no, never. Okay. And some people didn't like that. There was no option to say I would never consider it. Their reason for that is that's the easy answer. Put a yes in the comments or in the chat if you agree that that's the easy answer, and that's the answer that most sisters will give right off the bat. If you ask them, like, would you ever consider marrying a brother who's already married? No, of course not. No, I would never do that. I could never do that. I could never be in polygamy. Isn't that what we're used to hearing? Just give me a yes in the chat, in the comments, if that's true. That's the default answer for most sisters. The vast majority of sisters will tell you, I would never consider it. So then this question is not for you. If this question, if your answer is, I would never consider it, the question is not for you. I'm interested in us finding out under what circumstances a sister would consider it. Not for you to give me your off, you know, like your knee-jerk answer, which is no, of course not. If I had put the option under no circumstances, what percentage do you think would have answered that instead of potentially looking through the available options, taking a moment, taking a beat to say, hold on a minute, let me not go with my initial response, my knee-jerk response. Let me actually see if any of these are true for me. If none of them are true for you, then hey, you don't answer the question. The poll is not for you. You know what I mean? It's not for you, right? So you don't have to answer the question. Khalas. But the question was specifically for those who would consider it under certain circumstances, or simply to invite sisters to consider it and to think it through, and to, instead of having that knee-jerk response, to actually say, you know, well, I mean, it's not my preference, but if this was in place, maybe I would, right? Because as I said to the sister, I actually want to read you my response to the last. I feel sorry for the sister because she may think that I'm like targeting her, and it wasn't targeting her. So sis says, what about an option of under no circumstances, exclamation mark. The question is biased because it assumes that I or others would. When conducting research, I was strictly taught that the phrasing of the question could give you a biased result, where the participants would answer dishonestly. So asking under no circumstances, sorry, so asking under what circumstances would you is an example. Also, not giving an option of under no circumstances is another example, right? Fair enough. And I think I've given my reasoning why I did not. Well, firstly, why I asked under what circumstances, because I know that there are sisters who would, and I want to challenge every sister to think about it, right? And giving the option of under no circumstances, that's the easy answer. That's the one everybody wants to tick. Everybody wants to go for that. I'm not really trying to find out how many sisters out there hate polygyny, right? That's not the point of this, right? So that's why it's not there. Now, there is a question here. So this is the one that I responded to, and I want to share my response. So sister says, Sister Naima, your questioning is really biased. Why do you assume women would even want a polygamous relationship? You should have given an option of no under no circumstances. Most sisters you will find would not even consider such a relationship. Fair enough. My response: that is fantastic for those sisters. This poll is not for them. I want to hear from those who would consider it, under what conditions, under what circumstances, etc. Because the reality is, for many of us in this space of kind of being involved in the Muslim community, being, you know, of a certain age, or just being plugged in, we are of the opinion that there is a crisis. There is a crisis right now when it comes to Muslims and marriage, right? One of these crises, it's not the only one, is this number of single Muslims out there who have not been able to find refuge in a marriage. And my point is, polygamy or polygyny is one of the blessed options that we have available to us. So I'm not sure why sisters are so proudly declaring that they would never accept this option. I want to speak to this, right? Because sisters are out here saying, I would never do that. Like, I could never. And, you know, why would you assume sisters would consider it? Most sisters would say that they wouldn't consider it. And there's this real sense of like, you feel insulted by the fact that I'm not giving you that option. But my question to you is, why are you so proud of the fact that you would never consider it? What, you think you're too good? You think you're too good to be a second, third, or fourth wife? You think you're too good for your husband to take a second, third, or fourth wife? And if you do, which is, hey, that's your prerogative. It's fine. You can feel whatever you want to feel. You can think whatever you want to think. But I am going to push and lean in here. And I'm going to challenge you on that. Because are you saying that you are better than the Sahabiyat? I'm going to let that sit there for a minute. Are you saying that you are better than the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? I'm not going to say him because, as we know, people always say, yes, but the men of today are not like the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. God, give that a rest. There's another one that I want to mention as well, another answer that I want to mention. But my question is, do you think you're better than the Sahabiyat? Do you think you're better than generations of Muslim women ever since the dawn of Islam that were in polygamous marriages? Do you? Why? Your deen is better than theirs? Your iman is higher than theirs? Your akhlaq is better? Or is it because you have a degree, or you have money, or you come from a good family? What's up? Or what, you're too healed? You're too emotionally grounded? You're too emotionally based? Like, what is it? If you would not consider it for yourself, that's your personal options, your preference, it's your choice, tfadali. But sisters, be careful of putting yourself in a position where you're elevating yourself above that, right? We've all been there, right? We all envy if we see like a brother, for example, right? So it's just us today, yeah? So let's keep it real. When you see a brother who is devoted to his family, right? And you see from his actions that he loves this sister so much. His wife is everything. He would never want another, right? You envy that, don't you? We envy that, don't we? Because that's the dream. The dream is to have a man who wants only you and who spends his time and attention and resources only on you. That's the dream. A man who adores you, cherishes you, loves you, you're the world to him. That's the dream. Whether it's a natural dream within us or it's built by society, musha'arif, I don't know. But we can admit that that's the dream. And when we see a brother who is like looking after his wife and is so loving towards her, we love that, right? That's couple goals for us. So the idea of that man going to that woman and saying, I'd like to marry again, it's like heartbreak for us, right? It shatters the dream. He's not supposed to want that. If he really loves her, if he was really that guy that we thought, he's not supposed to want that. That doesn't fit the vision, right? If your husband really loves you, he will never want another. If your husband really loves you, he will get everything that he needs from you and he will never want or need another woman. Is that not the dream, sisters? Is that not the narrative? Put yes in the chat if you know that that's the narrative. That's the narrative. That's what we believe. That's what we pass amongst ourselves, amongst each other. That's what we've been told by the stories, the films, the songs, the movies. That's the model, right? Huh. But unfortunately, this is the wake-up call that you're all waiting for, the big slap that you all want. Ask men about that. Ask men about that. Ask them if it's true. I guarantee if we have a panel of brothers, a panel of men of all different shapes and sizes, and we ask them, is it true that if you love a woman, you will never want another and you will never think of marrying another? Is it true? You're going to get a different answer, bruv. Yeah, you are going to get a different answer because men don't think like us. They don't emote like us. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows how he created them. That's why he gave them permission to have four. And that's why the sunnah shows us example after example after example of men having multiple wives throughout Islamic history. Obviously, it differs in different parts of the Muslim world, but that's what we know. That's our culture. So why is our vision of a healthy relationship so out of sync with what Allah says, what Allah gives permission for, what Allah advocates, what the Prophet ﷺ told us to do, what the Sahaba have done, what Muslims have been doing for generations? Our vision is at odds with that. Why? This idea, right? Again, that if your husband loves you, he will only ever want you and he will never think of or want to marry again, is unhealthy and unrealistic. Now, are all men going to marry a second if they know that they can? No, I don't believe that. I think some men, they don't want the extra headache, to be honest. Because remember, getting married again in the deen, it's not like having a girlfriend or a mistress. You're establishing another family. That's a lot of responsibility. And that might be more headache than some men want, to be honest. Let's be frank here. But if the conversation was a conversation and was open and we got to hear, we have a live stream planned where we're going to have just men on the panel. And we're going to be talking about topics like this. We're going to be talking about plural marriage. We're going to be talking about standards and manning up and responsibility and all of this stuff, right? But the reason I wanted to pop on here really was to address what I see as sisters feeling proud of the fact that they would never consider it. And to be fair, there are some people who believed that they would never consider it when they were in their prime, when they had lots of options, when they had lots of proposals coming in, right? Or when they had never been married. And the reality is, sis, it's not always going to be like that. You may be in the privileged group who don't have to consider sharing a husband. Maybe. But there are many sisters who are not in that space, who don't have the leverage to say, I want a man who can provide, who has deen, who has character, but I'm his only wife and he's going to take me as I am. There are plenty of sisters who don't have that option. They don't have that kind of leverage. And there are sisters who, when they look at their life situation and they look at their responsibilities, yes, sis, I'm talking to you, who is raising children, who's had one or two marriages already. Yes, my beloved divorcees and single moms, I'm talking to you. A lot of the, I want to call it grandstanding that you see amongst sisters about standards and having high standards and, you know, expectations and all of this stuff. A lot of that is coming from either young women who have tons of options, as we know, or divorced sisters who are not interested in getting married. Widows, divorcees, single women who are not interested in getting married. Single women who would prefer to die alone than to compromise. These are the sisters that are vocal. Those are the sisters that you hear bringing all of this rhetoric about having standards and all of this stuff, right? But sis, if that's you, that's fine. You get to make the choices you want in life and you get to have the consequences like we all do. But sis, if that's not you, if you do actually want to get married, if you do want to set up something with a brother, with a Muslim man, if you want to be within the folds of matrimony, don't listen to those sisters who are banging on about high standards, about expectations, about brothers this, brothers that. Don't listen to them. They don't have your best interests at heart. They don't have any solutions for you. The people you should be listening to are married women or women who are marriage-minded. Women who are marriage-minded, and you should be listening to men. sorry to say. You need to hear what the men are saying and what they are thinking and what they are feeling if you actually want to get one of them. Now, if you hate men, or if you're so hurt by your life experiences that you can never trust a man again, this conversation is not for you. But some of you do want someone. Some of you do want to find somebody. You want to be chosen. And that's okay. But then you need to move differently. And listening to people talking about, you know, having, I don't know, £50,000 mahars is your right and you can do that. And, you know, you shouldn't have to do this, sis, and you should never settle for this. And you should always make sure this and always, you know, all of that kind of talk is not in your best interests. I want to deal with some of these comments now. Guys, if I'm out of pocket, tell me I'm out of pocket, right? Tell me I'm out of pocket, right? And give me your argument for why I'm wrong. Sis says, what if you just don't want polygamy? Like, it's just not your preference. People are guilting people now for just not wanting polygamy. Sis, if you've got the options, right? And if you're getting tons of proposals or you're getting really good men coming and asking for you and they are not married, then this conversation doesn't involve you, mashallah, right? But trust and believe, if you have passed that stage and you're not getting as many proposals, all the proposals that you get are of a lower quality, you may want to consider that, hold on a minute, maybe I'm at the stage of life where the high quality men, the brothers who have deen, who have akhlaq, who can manage a family, who are financially responsible and secure, maybe they're already married. I find it very, very interesting when I see sisters who expect to come into this marriage space after 30, 35, 40, and expect to find the caliber of man that she's looking for, which she has every right to look for, mashallah, we all want the very best that we can get. She expects to find the caliber of man that she's looking for in terms of deen, character, financial capability, and he's be single as well. Like, dude, if he is one of the good ones, by that time, he's most probably married. That's the reality of it. He's either married or he's had a divorce or two, right? You're not going to find a brother single like a Pringle who's good quality. We all know what I mean by good quality, right? Got deen, got character, and he's ready to take on the responsibility of a family financially. Because we know provision, protection and provision is a thing. We like it, right? So what's with the unrealistic expectations? Don't think that when you're past 30 into your 40s, 50s, that you're going to find everything on your list. And anyone who's telling you, no, sis, you know, just because you're older doesn't mean you should lower your standards. Oh, just because you've got kids doesn't mean you should settle. Those sisters don't have your best interests at heart in terms of being married. They may want to make you feel good. They may want to boost your confidence. They may want to make you feel loved and beautiful and special and like you're worth it, but they're not thinking of you in terms of being marriageable. They're not. They would rather you die alone, to be frank, than settle. You know how many sisters have said that? How many Muslim women you'll find online saying, I would rather die alone than settle. Really? And then there's a comment here that I need to bring up because actually it's a, let me see if I can find it. I hope I'll be able to find it, inshallah, because the sister was saying, like, why is this even a conversation? Muslim men ain't anything, basically. And which one of them is like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Why should we even have to consider this? And I'm like, if a man with the credentials of the Prophet ﷺ came to you, sis, today, you would be like, no, aside from the Nubuwa. A man who's older, a man who has other wives, a man who doesn't have, you know, the financial capability for Jack, but he has good character and he's trustworthy and he has deen, you would not marry him. You wouldn't. You would be like, no, I think I need somebody who's on my level. I think I need somebody who can provide, or no, I don't want to polygamy. No, it's not for me, except for the aspect of nubuwa. You wouldn't, you would not. So stop capping. Stop the cap. That's what I need you guys to do, is stop the cap. Stop the cap. Okay, that's what I need you to do. Because it's we're not on that level. We're not on that level. I've got Umsuma in the background here. All right, so hold on a minute. Let's see. Right, so I hope I answered that, okay? Nobody's guilt tripping, all right? Nobody's guilt tripping, but this is just reality talking right now, okay? You are free to make your choices in life and bear the consequences. But when you make the choice and you bear the consequence, we don't want to hear anything about complaints about the choices and the consequences, because we're all making choices all the time, all right? Maz says she guesses many brothers have answered it. I think they answered it just so they could see the results. All right, let's see. Saliha says, honestly, with time, my mind has changed. I'm more open to it, even though my heart may struggle. Well, may Allah bless you with whatever is meant for you, sis. Right? That's the reality. Sis says, no, rather I'm not okay with my future hubby being intimate with some other woman. Yeah, it's a leap. It's definitely a leap, but if he wants to do it, what are you going to do? Are you going to divorce him? You're going to leave because you don't like the feeling, because you don't like the idea? I'm going to talk about that in a minute as well. All right. Asalaamu Alaikum. I used to think I could never consider it, but now that's exactly where I am. And my situation is a bit different. Yeah, sis, some of the situations can be very different. May Allah make it easy, rectify it, and put it in the best way for you, and may you get whatever barakah is written for you out of it. May says, I really had to check myself, my deen, and my character over the years. We've been married. I can't be out here nevering only to end up right where I said I'd never be. That's funny. SubhanAllah. Carmen Charming says, you have a choice whether to go into polygamy, but if your husband takes a second wife, you should accept it. Make dua, get closer to Allah. Of course, it will be hard at first. But she says, your husband taking another wife is not a valid reason to divorce him. That's another thing that I'm seeing sisters saying. If he dare do that, I'm out. If he dare do that, I'm leaving. Sis, like this mindset is not from Islam. I don't care. This mindset is not from the deen. So you need to check yourself. You need to check yourself. Sis says, I'm putting a clause in my marriage contract saying he can't take other wives whilst we're married. Well, good luck with that, sis. Some men will not accept that as a condition, and so you need to take that consequence, and some will, inshallah. So I suggest always having the door open for the conversation, because if you don't have the door open for the conversation, it can lead to behaviors that are deceitful that you will not be happy about. I'll just say it like that. Talk about man to man. Talk about man, to man up and be like the Sahaba, then they will have problems, but they are low lives and they want more wives. Now, sis, the Sahaba there was great variety amongst the Sahaba. I'm not sure exactly what you mean when you say be like the Sahaba. I really don't know what you mean. You had Sahaba who were very, very, very strong in deen, and those who did just what they needed to do. And we know this. You had those who only had the one wife, and you had those who had several and had many divorces and many children. You had those who had money and those who had nothing, right? You had Sahaba, remember guys, who committed zina. It was a whole human society out there. So when you say be like the Sahabas, what do you mean? Because my thinking is, for many of the Sahaba, they would not listen to you if you're giving them a hard time saying, oh, if you take another wife, I'm out. You think the Sahaba would stand for that? Listen, and I'm not just basing this on nothing. When Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam came to his son's house and he noticed some particular characteristics in, I think it's Ismail's wife. What did he say to Ismail? He said, change the threshold of your house. And then when Ismail came back and he told his wife, he said, my father has told me to divorce you. And he changed the threshold of his house because his father told him, that woman there, she's no good. And yet we're out here telling our husbands, oh no, not over my dead body, over my dead body. Don't you dare. Sis, a reality check is needed, right? Because you think that the deen gives you that leverage. It doesn't. That is our ego. That is our ego and all the stuff that we've been sent from outside, and it's influencing us to have this kind of pride and arrogance. If your husband, if you, okay, let me just speak like straight to my sisters right now. Sis, take this off. Sis, if your husband is a good man and you have a good situation and you have children with him, do not even dream of breaking up your home because he has married another woman. I implore you, do not even dream of it, because your decision to, I'm not dealing with this, nope, I'm out, will have far-reaching repercussions. And why should you? Why should you break up your home because he took another wife? Why? Let me just be frank with you, yeah? If your husband did not want to be with you, or if your husband wanted to divorce you, he would have divorced you. If he wanted to break up your home, like people say, oh, he got married again and it destroyed our house. If he wanted to destroy the house, he could have just left. He could have just sent you back to your parents. He could have just said to you, I'm not doing this anymore. But he didn't do that. He kept you in your situation with your children and him still involved, and he took on another responsibility. That's on him. Whether he will be able to fulfill the responsibility or not, whether it will change the quality and dynamic, etc., that's on him. But don't you be the reason for the whole thing to fail. And I'm saying this as I was a wife on my own, right? I was a wife who had my husband to myself, and alhamdulillah, he was a good husband. And when the prospect of polygyny ever came up, I was like, I will be damned if I am going to leave the home that I've invested in for the past however many years. What, because he's taken another wife? You must be kidding me. I'm not doing that. For what? So you can be a single mom? So your kids can come from a divorced home? So you can be a divorcee? So you can go try and find some other man who will be devoted to you only? What is this? Especially if the relationship was salim, like it was a good relationship. No abuse, no violence, you know? He manned up. Under what circumstances is it ever going to be okay for your husband to say, I want to marry again? Under what circumstances? He has to put you, we have to have bought our home. If he can't afford to pay the house off, then he can't marry again. If he's not the perfect dad, then he can't marry again. If our relationship is not 100%, then he can't marry again. Really? Really? Is that the barometer, yeah? Is that the standard? Aina dalil? Where's the proof? Where's the proof? Allah said to treat them equally. We know the rules. And we also know that there are situations in which the wife can give up her right. We also know this. So your rules, your rules about, well, I'll only accept it under these circumstances that are made up stuff. The last thing I want is for any of you to break up your homes because you've held on to this idea that my husband belongs to me. He belongs to me. And I get to decide whether I share him or not. You can decide, because if it comes to your doorstep and you decide to walk away, oh, you've made a decision. Even all of you who are putting in your contracts that you basically, if you marry again, you divorce me. Sis. I've said it in my other video. I'll put the link in the description below. Don't glamorize being divorced. Don't glamorize the divorcee life. Don't glamorize the single mom life. Trust and believe. The reality of this dunya is that every situation has its good and bad, its advantages, its disadvantages, its pros and its cons. But some situations, even the difficulty of it and the disadvantages of it and the cons of it, are worth it because it's going somewhere. It's building something. Let me give an example and make it clear what I mean. So you're married, you're in your marriage, and it's not perfect like most of us. Yeah, it's not perfect. There are some disadvantages. There's some things that you've had to compromise on. There's some characteristics that really they don't sit with you and all of that kind of thing, right? Yeah, any normal things. Him, same on his side, same on your side. You know, maybe your in-laws are a bit of a pain in the neck, these types of things, right? And maybe sometimes you think, you know what? Maybe he does something. Maybe, you know, financially things start to go pear-shaped, or his mom just does this thing where you're like, I can't take it anymore. And then he doesn't take your side. And so now you feel like, you know, I can't trust him. Or maybe he marries again, or you know, he brings the conversation to you, or you find out that he's done it, whatever. Stuff happens, right? And you think to yourself, you know what? I could do without this headache. I could do without him in my ear, his mom on my case, having to do things his way, whatever the case may be. You think to yourself, I could do without that. My life would be better if I could just run it on my own terms. And yeah, it might be difficult, but yeah, let me do that. So you leave that situation, you ask him to leave, you ask him to give you a divorce, or you start creating problems in the relationship and it breaks up. So you've chosen to go it alone. And then in that situation, there are going to be advantages, sis. Of course. Yeah. There are going to be advantages because now you don't have to deal with him in your ear. You don't have to face his mother-in-law every weekend. You don't have to do things his way. So yay, a win. But with those advantages come the disadvantages, right? So in both situations, you had to deal with discomfort, right? Married, there's discomfort. Divorced, there's discomfort. I don't want to go into all the discomforts and the disadvantages of being a single mom, of being a divorcee, of breaking up a family. I don't want to go into that because I go through that in my video. But what I want to say is, barring situations where you were being proper abused and it was toxic and properly toxic, guys, not just like, oh, your husband is stingy or your husband like doesn't listen to you when you rant. No, I mean like it was damaging you emotionally, spiritually, physically, mentally, right? That's what we're talking about. Aside from that, put those to the side. In the marriage, there were disadvantages, there were trials, there were sacrifices made, but it was going somewhere. It was building something. It was maintaining something, something precious, something important. Your family, right? Your family, your children, the in-laws on both sides, your a'ila, okay? You were building something that inshallah will give you dividends in later life because your children grew up in a home that was stable. They grew up with their mother and father. They saw that marriage is not peaches and cream all the time. It's light and dark, okay? It's good and bad, but they saw their parents committed to making it work. So you gave them that. And then when they go and get married, when they come home to mom and dad. When your grandchildren are born, they have a grandmother and a grandfather in the same house. And when you have Eid and all the family come back, they're coming back to you. And you, sis, yeah, who sacrificed, who maybe put your dreams on hold, who maybe didn't have the perfect relationship, what have you built? So much more because of that. Give me a yes in the chat if that resonates, because that's real stuff. Now, let's look at the other situation where you chose the difficulty of being on your own. Yes, both situations have trial, have sacrifice, have difficulty. But the one where you decide to go off on your own, the difficulty and the trials, they're hardly building anything. They're not going anywhere. They're not taking you in the direction that you want to go. Trust me, I have been through a divorce that I can say I'm responsible for. And I will own that and I'll take the L. And that's what it is, sisters. It was an L. It is an L. It's a loss. It's a lose that I could have avoided, and Allah knows best. Obviously, Qadr Allah, everything is in His hands, okay? But I take the L. as the person who didn't want to work on it anymore, I take the L. I take the L and I take accountability for the fact that I broke something that was going somewhere for many people. Something that was, that had value for my children, for his children, for him, for our families. We were building something, right? And when I checked out, I broke it. So after that now, when you're struggling as a single mom and you're trying to keep your kids together, you're trying to keep your home together, you're trying to keep your mindset together, you're struggling, you're still struggling. You were struggling in the marriage and you're struggling now. But when you were struggling in the marriage, you were building something for the future. Now you're struggling as a single mom. What are you building? I could be wrong, guys. Yeah. And if I'm wrong, please, I'm waiting for your comments. Many of us are, none of us are perfect, but many of us came from a situation, right, of a stable family because our mother or our father took the hit, right? They made the sacrifice so that we could be okay. And some of us come from situations where we've suffered because one of our parents did not want to take the hit, did not want to make the sacrifice, right? We carried that. So for those of us who are in situations where, you know, we've had to learn from our mistakes in life, that's all you can do is try to keep others, or try to make others aware. And my message is always, always, always to sisters who are in decent marriages, don't you take that for granted. Don't take that decent man for granted. Don't destroy your home. It's much bigger than you think. And your emotions are much more malleable than you think. You have the power to control your state, your emotional state, by what thoughts you entertain. That's why on Thursdays, I come on here with Brother Nasir to teach. That's what it's about. So sis says, maybe what you're doing is building yourself and maybe building your children. Children thrive with their mother and father. That's how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala built us. And that is what the data shows. Children brought up by single mothers are at a disadvantage. We need to accept that. Our outcomes at the moment are not looking great. And not only does the weight and the responsibility and the accountability sit on the single mother, the woman who was not built to shoulder that, guys. We are meant to be the shepherds of our flock, and we're meant to have our Amir looking out for us, protecting us, providing for us, maintaining us, protecting us. Especially, I want to kind of just drill in on that. So when you're out there in the world and you have no one to protect you, and you're the one who's fighting everything and making everything happen and having to deal with everything, having to carry everything, it has an impact on you. Psychologically, emotionally, spiritually, it has an impact on you because you were not built for that. You were never meant to be in that situation. So building yourself, I guess by making yourself stronger, I guess having to deal with it, you will become stronger, I guess. But there's a cost for that as well. And building your children, why? What was wrong with them before? Yes, no one is saying that a single woman cannot raise children upright. I'm not saying that. And I pray that I can live that reality, right? But a lot of the time we think, oh, our children are suffering because we're not happy in our marriage. But sometimes the kids have got no idea. Especially if you're in a situation where really you are the one who's not happy, but the guy is just okay. He's just a normal guy. The kids are happy to see mom and dad together. That's all they care about. They want their mom and dad together and a peaceful home. That's it. And if you have that, trust and believe, they're not looking into it, say, but is my mom, is she really happy or is she pretending? Does she really love my dad, or is she dreaming about somebody else? You know, is my dad really committed to my mom, or is he married somebody else? Like, this is the kind of thing, subhanAllah, you know. This is another thing as well I want to address, because our children, as we go back to what we were talking about, right, the polygyny, okay? I've had sisters saying how the polygamy has destroyed their children. And I call time out on that. And I think it's cap, right? The people within the polygamous setup can destroy the children. You as a man, if you married again and then all of a sudden you stopped investing in your children, you stopped coming round, you didn't divide time equally, right? You changed as a result of you marrying again, then yeah, you are responsible for destroying your home and destroying your children, right? I don't know how common that is. But a lot of the time when sisters say, oh, the polygamy destroyed my children, it's because you believe the polygamy destroyed you. And you couldn't cope or didn't want to cope or had a breakdown and you bled out onto your kids. That's what happened. The two of you couldn't come to an agreement and you bled out all over the kids. Because under normal circumstances, what does polygamy mean? It means dad's not here every single night. Does that give your children trauma? What are we talking about here, guys? Seriously. Because your father doesn't come home for two nights of the week, or he only comes one on, one off. Now your kids have trauma. No, they're traumatized by you, bruv. You are the one. Your response is traumatizing them. They are seeing how you are taking, let's be frank, ladies, they are seeing how you are navigating this test, and that is traumatizing to them. If their mom is in a depressed state and does not get out of bed, is taking medication, is suicidal, right? Is crying all the time, is raging at their father, is insulting their father, is having fights with the father every time he comes, that's the trauma. That's the trauma. But that's you, sis. That's on you. Not here to shame anyone. Not here to shame anyone. I'm just keeping it real. Because that is, and the thing is, when you hear real talk, it can feel like a slap in the face, right? It can feel like a slap in the face. And especially if it's triggering for you, right? And you feel, oh, why is she being so hard on me? Like, I didn't do this, or I would have done this, whatever the case may be, right? Taking accountability most of the time does not feel good, but it's necessary. It's necessary, because if you don't take accountability, then guess what? You're never to blame. You're always the victim. You're always the guiltless party. It's always someone else's fault. You have nothing to do with it. You did not create the situation in any way. Really? Really, though? It might be useful to really think that through. To really think that through. Because it's very rarely the case. It's very rarely the case. Right. Whew, that was a lot. Sis, what about this issue around finances, where now the first family have to downsize their way of living? It's not just polygamy, but the financial insecurities that can happen. Okay. What if your husband loses his job and you have to downsize? Isn't our risk written? Guys, I'm going to keep defaulting to Quran and Sunnah on this. I am, because I think it's the only thing that will get through to us. What if he loses his job? What if he quits his job? Okay, let me not say, loses his job, because then someone said, yeah, but then he didn't choose that situation, so I can be okay with it. But with polygamy, he chose it, so therefore, blah, blah, blah. Okay, what if he quit his job? Then what? You're going to divorce him? Is our risk written or not? And let me give you another perspective. If you have to downsize somewhat in order to accommodate another sister and potentially her child or her children, why is that not a sadaqah on your behalf? Why is that not? Why? Answer me. I want to know. Why is it you're the victim and he's the perpetrator? Oh, and by the way, he's the only one who benefits. You have to pay the price for his benefit. Really? So what about that sister who is your sister in Islam? What about her? And if she has children, what about them? We don't care about them, do we? That's what I talked about, is that the first wife privilege, it's real. And I get it. I get it. Sis says, take responsibility. That's what's lacking. I do have to say, men hide behind permissibility to marry without telling first. The lying, the hiding, this is what breaks women. Sis, you know what? 100% agree with you, right? But that is also not a situation created by one person. There are two people in the marriage. And we talked about this on the live stream, and we're going to talk about it again, inshallah, next week, this week, actually. Because if you've made it clear to him that I'm not accepting this, if you dare do this, I'm out, it's the end, don't ever X, Y, and Z, we haven't left the conversation open. The door is not open for the conversation to be had, right? So, and I'm not excusing the brother, but he's thinking, you know what, this is the lesser of two evils. At least Allah's not going to blame me, and I'll deal with the consequences of it later. Is it the best thing to do? No. Is it cowardly? Maybe. But you as a wife, how are you party to that decision that he made? And actually, Brother Nasser spoke about this he spoke about this on the live stream on Thursday, subhanAllah. But this is the really real, right? This is the really real. Don't just keep blaming men. We are sentient beings. We are whole adults out here, making choices all the time. We choose how we behave, what we say, what we don't say, what we do, what we don't do. Women, stop acting like the victims all the time, like we don't create anything, like we don't make any decisions. Oh, we can't make anything happen. Man's in charge. I can't make anything happen. Really? I want to address this. Many men can't afford polygamy anyway in this economy. Don't worry, sister. Sis, I don't want to burst your bubble, but there are women out there so lonely and so in need of a man that they will marry a man and say, you don't have to provide for me. And that is the reason why the Prophet's wife gave up her haqq, because she knew the Prophet was thinking of divorcing her and she didn't want him to divorce her. So she said, I give my nights to Aisha. Oh! Oh. So you can comfort yourself with this, but the way that the crisis is right now, the way the world is, a sister, many sisters will not have finances as a deal breaker, because she's that lonely. She's that in need of a male presence in her life or in the life of her children. She will say it's okay. Now, is that preferable? No. Is it ideal? No. But is it real? Yes. Very, very real. Realer than you think. So, where are we at? Trust and believe. Yeah, human beings don't operate like that. Sis says, I'm willing to downsize, make room in my home, even for my sister in Islam. May Allah bless us. The thing is, guys, the reality is that the deen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opened the door for, you know, marry two, three, or four. And if you cannot be just, then have one. So this is in the Quran, mentioned in the Quran, right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saw it fit to mention this permissibility in the Quran and then to show it in the example of the Prophet ﷺ as well as all the Sahaba, right? So it's some unpacking, some unlearning, some reconnecting to what's really important, what's really real. Like I said, somebody said about money. I wanted to address this. Where is it? This is a really good point. The issues many raise against polygamy also happen in monogamous marriages. Exactly. Finances, misunderstandings, feeling, you know, like a lack of trust, all these types of things. We problematize polygamous marriages, but we give monogamous marriages like a complete pass. But actually, both of them take work. All relationships take work. Again, it's about what are you building? So for me, one of the things that I want to say, and I want sisters to hear me on this, please, 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 sisters, yeah, think so carefully before you break up your home, the home that you've created with your Muslim husband, your decent guy. Guys, the standard is a decent guy, okay? The standard is not a high-value man, 6 figures, 6 foot, none of that nonsense. The standard is not an alim. The standard is not a scholar. The standard is not a doctor, an engineer or pilot. The standard is not Sharif Yani, what's his name? I can't even remember his name now. What's his name again? You know, what's his Chalamet? Timothy Chalamet or any of these guys. That's not the standard. The standard is a good man with deen and character who's going to look after you. Okay? Hear me on this. A good man, sincere Yani, who's going to look after you. Whatever that looks like financially, you guys work it out. Whatever that looks like in terms of time, in terms of location, you guys work it out. Right? But if, sisters, you come across a man who is sincere, who genuinely wants to be a part of your life and wants to look after you, or he's in your life, he's your husband, he's the father of your children, and he's looking after you, and he's a decent guy, you hold on to that gold. Do you understand me? Do not fool yourself into thinking that there's plenty of fish in the sea. Not for us, sisters. For men, yes, because men require a lot less. And I challenge any brothers here to say anything different. I believe women, because we come under the protection of a man and because we lay with him and we have his children, we're in that state of vulnerability, right? That's why we need protectors. So we can't be with just any Tom, Dick or Harry, because that will negatively impact us. That could harm us, right? So we can't be with just anyone. We have to find a good person, right? We have to find the right person. But what I'm saying is that the standard is a decent guy. Good deen, good character, wants to look after you. He's genuine. If you have that, khalas, game over. Someone said something about being a ride or die. No. You see this here? This stuff here? No, sisters. That's not the standard. Alpha male is not the standard. Why? Because it's a nice to have. It's wonderful to have. And if you have, mashallah, a very strong masculine man, it's great. There's benefits and there's there's advantages and disadvantages like everybody, right? But that's not the standard. Because what will happen then is that women who don't have alphas, quote unquote, as husbands, start to look down on their decent guy because he's not alpha. Wrong. Wrong. That's your decent guy who's committed to you. You hold on to him. Ihfadhi, look after him. You look after that man and you hold on to that man. Shahid says, what's wrong with a little variety? I don't know who he's talking to, but yeah. Sis says, should the man's reasons for polygyny be legit in Islam? Sis, the man's reason can be, I want to marry again. That's legit. There are no caps on it. I know as sisters, we want to gatekeep. As wives, we want to gatekeep, right? But that's not a valid reason. As long as he can take care of his responsibilities, you don't get to say what's a valid reason or not. And sometimes you may not want to know his real reason. You may not want to know it. Let's be real. What if he actually marries just because you showed you're fine? Then there's more barakah. Don't you get it? Don't you guys get it? Your husband's getting more reward. That sister now has a man in her life, so she's blessed. If you have welcomed that situation and you've been patient, you're blessed. And now your husband's family has grown. Your family has grown. And who knows what barakah could come into your life through that sister? Allahu alam. You don't know. But you might as well assume that if it's come to you, that there is khair in it for you. So it's not like, oh, you checkmated yourself. Oh, I acted like I was okay with it. And then he actually went and did it. Mistake. No. Be okay with it. And be open to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings. Because it's qadr at the end of the day. It's qadr at the end of the day. Right? It's the qadr. So Linda says, there would have to be love in the family. Please, Allah. That's what we should be making dua for. Put the love, increase the love between my husband and I. Make us a loving family. Give me love in my heart for my co-wife and for the children. Let the children love each other. Let us be one. Let us be one. You don't have to be living in the same house. You don't have to be in each other's faces. You don't even have to be in the same country. But be family. I could be wrong, guys. But that's for me, is the ideal that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants for us. Is that we are believers and we want good for each other. Equal but different, someone says. Okay. Let's see. Right. So, we ended up having like a polygamy masterclass. It was supposed to be a rant. Guys, I don't have all the answers, but I can speak to stuff that I'm seeing online. And it's unhealthy. It's unhealthy. So this says, I would be much better suited to the dynamic of having multiple spouses, and they would benefit if their pride and ego and jealousy didn't get in the way. A lot of the time it is our pride, for sure, because everybody wants to be the prize and everybody wants to believe that my husband does not want for anything because I am amazing and I am such a good mom and I'm such a good sister. Like, how could he even want another when he has me? It's the pride, guys. It's the ego. Let's accept that. And if we can be cool and be sisters for the sake of Allah, not because of her, you know, not because necessarily you want to make her life easy, even though that would be a good thing and that would be a good intention, but for the sake of Allah. When I said that, I didn't get to finish my point. Men don't need much, meaning all of the layers that we look for in a partner, right? And the qualities that we look for in a partner, especially the protection and the provision, is I would argue more rare than what men look for. Because men are looking for a woman who they're attracted to, who's decent. Maybe she can keep house. Of course, different men have different standards, right? Some want an educated woman, some want one who's going to stay at home, etc. But for majority of men, average men, their needs can be filled quite easily, right? Many sisters are not in that situation, right? Many women in general have a higher expectation, a higher standard. We want him to be able to financially look after us. We want him to be a good dad. We want, you know, all of these things, right? So what I'm saying is, if you have found someone who is your decent guy, and I don't mean he's only yours, I just mean that he is committed to you. You keep hold of him, because if you leave and he's of that mindset, he can find another one like that. Because all he needs is a woman who does basic woman things. Whereas you just opted out of the man who had committed to you, the man who had children with you, which is massive, right? And a man you were safe with. And you've opted out of that to go out on these streets, to find another man who he may not have any of those qualities, and he will never be the father of your children. And that already counts for a lot. Trust me, ladies, a man will go above and beyond for the mother of his children in a way that he will not for a woman who doesn't have his kids. Point blank, period. I want to be straight with you. So don't ever get that twisted, please, inshallah. Oof. Naima, I laugh how people are so engaged in seeking comfort as if this is their final destination. Woohoo, excuse me. I reminded a sister that none of us deserve more comfort than the prophets. Yet his household went 3 months with just dates. Oh my gosh, sis, that's what I'm saying. Sisters, we're so quick to quote Sirah to support our own points. But if you actually start quoting Sirah like proper, all of us will have to take several seats. Sis says he's in poly. I'm not, so I would act as if she didn't exist. We're not Mormon sister wives. No, we're not Mormon sister wives. But sometimes I have to say, man, those Mormons, man, they show us up. Those Christian polygamists, they, some of them, not all the aspects, because some of the aspects are weird, but they show us up with the way the sisters love each other. They make us look really bad. They make us look slow and spiteful and greedy and vengeful and not at all Islamic. Not at all Islamic. Definitely not loving for our sister what we, you know, what we love for ourselves. Single moms who want to remarry but doesn't want polygamy. Why, sis? Why? First, ask yourself why. Why? I'm going to wait for your answer. And I'm not asking why to be flippant. I mean, why? I really mean it. Why do you not want to? What are your reasons? Let's see. What about divorced males who want to remarry but want to practice polygamy? Oh, that's an answer to the other one. Sisters, yes, they sure do make us look bad. Listen, guys, all I'm saying is alhamdulillah, there's no like real Muslim housewives of New Jersey and like shows like that, because it would be game over for us. It would be game over. Subhanallah. It would really be game over. How to persuade the spouse by nice statements, Islam inspired, to get her more accepting in you making the step, like, go ahead, take your rights. You know what? This is the kind of question that we definitely will have to ask the brothers, and maybe we'll do a poll. But to be honest, I think that the default position of most wives is that they do not want you to do it. That's the reality of it. Now, how much is she in your frame? How much are you leading the relationship and the family? How much are you taking responsibility for everything? How much does she respect you and see you as a leader to the point where she will respect your decision when you make it? That's really ideally where you want to be. If you don't have that leverage, this is to the brothers out there. It's a bit of game for the brothers. If you don't have that leverage already in your relationship, in the sense that she trusts you, she respects you, she's happy to follow your lead, if you don't have that leverage, you may struggle. If financially you're not taking care of business, you may face a lot of opposition, right? If financially you're not in a position to at least kind of contribute to another household without her severely downgrading, then you may struggle, right? If you are already not taking care of things in your own house, in the first household, meaning like you're never around, that the kids never see you, you know, you're not actively committed, then she's going to be resistant, and who could blame her, right? So you want to make sure that you're taking care of things in the first home before you decide to step out and establish another one. I think that that is fair advice. That's not biased either way. It's fair. And in the eyes of Allah, that is safer for you, because you already have a mas'uliyah. You already have a responsibility right now. In the eyes of Allah, are you fulfilling your duties? If you are, then alhamdulillah, itfaddal. If you're not, then don't get in a situation where you actually take on more responsibility than you can handle. When I got serious money cash flow, I'm going to go for it. How does that come across? No, bro. I don't think that will go down at all. Because what she's going to do then is she's going to actively work against you having serious cash flow. You make sure that your first house is sound and establish yourself as a credible and trustworthy leader of that house. And then any decisions you make after that, inshallah, that will, even if there is initial kind of discomfort, etc., it will be accepted because she's in your frame. But definitely don't like lead up to the conversation and say, oh yeah, but when I get rich, that's what I'm doing. Unless it's like a joke thing and you want to just sow the seeds, in which case, you know, that might be fine. SubhanAllah. Let's see, Lily. Yes, you have to obey your husband even when he's not providing. Allah is going to question you on your actions. I don't know your circumstances, but sometimes we're part of the problem. Okay, there's other stuff going on in the chat that I wasn't aware of, so my apologies. If my husband is a good man and there's a good woman in need of a husband and he could provide for her too, subhanAllah, I would be happy for her to have a good husband by him marrying her too, mashallah. I don't want to kind of boost anybody up or make anybody else feel bad, but I think we can all agree that Islamically, that is the preferable response. That is the ideal response. Do we live in a world of ideal? No. But can we aspire to it at least? Yes. All right. I think we're going to end here, guys. I can't even believe I've been on here chatting for an hour. Shocking. Kula's back. He says, nobody is saying that men shouldn't fulfill their duties, but it's these modern hijabi feminist women who are projecting polygamy as something haram, a sin, a great injustice against women. And I want to just, I want to address this thing of polygamy being for men and for the benefit of men. Right. If the brother was marrying more men, you may have a point, right? If polygamy was about you have one wife and then you have men, okay, then you could say that, yeah, the men are the ones benefiting, okay? Only men are benefiting. But that's not the case, right? If you remember during the time of the Romans, when the Romans had their empire, the Romans used to do that. The Romans had one wife who was for procreation, right? And they would marry her, they would have their children with her. But then they would have lovers. They had multiple lovers who were male. Right. And those, that was where their love came from. That's where their eros came from. That's where they fulfilled their emotional, romantic and sexual sides with other men. So you could say, you could potentially argue that that type of plural situation, it benefits men. But in Islam, it's like we're forgetting your husband's marrying another sister. She's not a homewrecker. Stop with that. She's not the other woman. Stop with that. She's not a mistress. Stop with that. Right? She's not some hussy or some side chick. Stop with that. She is your sister. Abdullah says it was the Greeks, not the Romans. My apologies. He's marrying a sister, and that sister may or may not have children. They often do. Who are in need, potentially, of what your husband can bring to them, right? So this thing of polygamy benefits men. Listen, I'll tell you what benefits men, yeah? Adultery benefits men, okay? We can say that. Adultery benefits men. Why? Because men get to have exactly what they want without paying the price. But in the deen and in polygamy, if a man wants to marry again, if he does want another wife, if he does want variety or another flavor or whatever it is, he's paying the price for that. He's paying the price for that. He is investing in that. He's taking responsibility before Allah with that through the nikah. That is not for the benefit of men. That sister is benefiting. Those kids are benefiting. He, yes, is benefiting. If you choose to, sis, you can benefit too. If you choose, you choose, your children could benefit too. Start looking at examples of polygamy done right. Start looking at examples of families that have made it work for them. How have they made it work? What mindset did they have? What intentions did they have? How do they figure out the logistics and the time and the money and the children? That's what we should be looking at. Oh, mashallah, super chat. Yay, £10. Jazakallah khair, Naima. May Allah accept it from all of us. Thank you so much for the super chat. Jazakallah khair. Oh, let's see. There's reality that when we who have husbands are not perfect, we're not perfect Muslim women. Yeah. We grew over time and Bidnillah became better. Why not give the sister that time to grow as we had? SubhanAllah. And you know, let's be just here as well. You, brother, as a man, it's upon you to pick a sister for your second or your third or your fourth that is going to bring khair to your current dynamic. And what I mean by that is, I don't mean you have to bring her into your family, into your first wife's house, the initial wife's house and all of that stuff in right in her face, because everybody does this slightly differently, right? But pick a sister who is aslan a good sister, because if she's a good sister, she's going to look after you, right? She's going to respect you. She's going to trust you. She's going to obey you. She's going to do all the good things, right? Which is going to put you in a good headspace. That allows you to show up in a good way in your initial family, in your initial home. So it's khair all around. Don't pick a sister who's messy, please. Don't pick a sister who's going to give you headache. Don't pick a sister who is going to go and chat about your business, who is going to talk to you about your first wife in a way that is immature or dumb or cause fitna. If you choose a sister like that and the sister situation blows up, then that's on you. And sis, if you're going in as a subsequent wife, don't be that messy chick. Don't be that messy chick. Yeah? If a brother marries you and he brings you into the fold of his family, behave yourself. Behave yourself, okay? Behave like a Muslimah should. The best of manners, akhlaq, etiquette, respectful, right? Trustworthy. Wanting for your sister what you want for yourself. Like, woman up. Getting supermarket, shopping from the supermarket and taking bins out does not need an alpha or toxic masculine man. Just a brother with an ounce of sincerity. Yes. SubhanAllah. Where are we? Let's see this. Oh gosh, there's so much happening in the chat. If you guys are watching on the replay, just give me a shout out. It's a replay gang. And make sure if you can to watch the live chat while you're watching this, because it's on fire. SubhanAllah. The issue is that we've been taught that respect is earned. If a sister refuses to obey her husband, that's on her. And she will answer to Allah about that, just as he will answer to Allah. Exactly. We only have control over what we are responsible for. So here we go. What's this? Adultery and fornication is bottom line. I think sisters on the podcast will save some people from hellfire by facilitating this in the UK today. Guys, look, at the end of the day, let's be real right here. We know Muslims are committing zina. Right? We unfortunately, this is a reality. I'm not saying that it's super widespread. I'm not saying everyone's doing it, but we know that it does happen. And the unfortunate thing that we're finding out more and more is that married men and women are doing it too. So if your husband wants to marry again, that shows you something. He has taqwa. He has taqwa. If he didn't have taqwa, he would not even be talking about getting married. He would just do the do. You know how many brothers we hear about falling into zina through escorts, through prostitutes, call girls, OnlyFans, people at work? If he mentions getting married, that shows that he has taqwa. And that's something to be happy about. If he mentions it to you, sis, you think that you're playing a trump card by saying, don't you ever mention that to me again. I will never allow that. Oh, how dare you? If you ever did, you think you're playing the trump card, right? You think that, yeah, oh, there, Yu-Gi-Oh, I got him. But you're not. All you're doing is shutting down the conversation. He is sharing with you a legitimate desire. And you're shutting it down. There's a consequence for that. He may not feel comfortable having that conversation with you again. He may not feel comfortable if he does find a sister somehow. He may not feel comfortable coming to you with that. In which case, he may take actions that you will not appreciate. But that's because you closed the door. and you made it like a non-negotiable, this can never, right? Right. Oof, that was a lot. Okay. Guys, not all can accept it, and that's okay. That's fine. You don't know what you can tolerate, actually. I disagree with that. You don't know what you can tolerate until you decide that you're going to tolerate something. You have to make the decision first, and then you take the action. You can't, when you've never been in the situation, this particular situation, you can't say, I can't do that. I can't tolerate that, because that's a decision. What you're actually saying is, I refuse to tolerate this. I am not going to be okay with this. That's a decision. That's on you. As for what you can bear, because people like to say that as well. Oh, Allah doesn't burden a soul more than it can bear. Therefore, you know, this is not for me. If you've not been in that situation, then you don't know what you can bear because you've not tried. You've not tried. That's the truth. I'm just being honest. You just haven't tried. So you can't actually say, I can't cope with this until you've given it a fair shot for the sake of Allah. That's it. And if you've given it a fair shot for the sake of Allah and it was destroying you and you've sought help and it's just the worst thing ever, Allah has allowed you an out. But at least you can say that you tried. At least you can say that you tried. All right, but that's it for me, guys. The chat is too much, mashallah, it's too amazing. Thank you so much for those of you who watched live. Leave your takeaways in the comments, please. And do make sure that you like the video, share the video, subscribe to the channel. We're on our way to 50K subs. You guys can help us get there, inshallah. And I'll see you on Wednesday. This was an impromptu live. So many of you came on. That's wonderful. But Wednesday, inshallah, I will be on at my usual time in the evening. We're going to be talking about porn addiction and women. Okay, so please make sure that you come on. Bi-ithnillah. And Thursday night as well, it's the Candid Conversations with Brother Nasir. And I'll see you then, inshallah. And I think we're going to be talking about polygamy again as well, because it came up in the last week's show. And, you know, it's still obviously a really big issue. So, bi-ithnillah, I will see you then. Jazakallah khairan, everyone. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.